My guest at this time is best-selling author and documentary filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza. His latest book, which we profiled last week, is entitled The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. We've asked him to offer his insights into the violence in Charlottesville this past Saturday. And Dinesh, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Great to be on the show.
Well, when we spoke last week, you were mentioning how the Antifa activists of today are reminiscent of the black shirts or brown shirts of yesterday in Mussolini's Italy with the black shirts and Hitler's brown shirts in Nazi Germany, since they resort to violence to suppress speech and so forth. On Saturday, Antifa activists tangled with white supremacists who, of course, were espousing the types of things the Third Reich promulgated back then. So who were the fascists here? Was it one or the other or both?
Well, first of all, clearly there's a fascist streak running between both sets of violent activists. And as you know, the mayor of Charlottesville said yesterday or the day before, these people all came to fight. They didn't come to peacefully protest. They wanted to tangle with each other. Now, what's really strange is that the guy who organized the rally, the white supremacist who organized the rally, is a former Obama guy. And he's a former Occupy Wall Street guy. So right away, you know there's something fishy going on here. Second of all, the whole protest was supposedly over a monument to Robert E. Lee. Now, Robert E. Lee was opposed both to slavery and to secession. And so isn't it strange that a man who opposed both slavery and secession has come for the left to symbolize slavery and secession? Remember that there are Democratic racists who have monuments to themselves all over the South. Here's a good example. Robert Byrd, former leader of the Ku Klux Klan. Half of West Virginia is named after Robert Byrd. You drive around Robert Byrd School, Robert Byrd Highway, Robert Byrd this. Yet notice that no one is pulling his statues down. He was lionized in the Democratic Party. Hillary called him her mentor. So you know that there's a big lie underway. It's just a matter of getting our fingers on it so we can expose what's really going on.
You mentioned the organizer had ties to Occupy Wall Street and other things associated with the left. The conventional wisdom, of course, coming out of Charlottesville is that these people who came from the white supremacist side, while that might have been part and parcel of the Democratic Party years ago in the Jim Crow era, these clearly weren't people who voted for Hillary. These must have been people who voted for Trump. What do we know for sure?
Well, I don't think we know enough for sure. And it is true that there are some of these ragtag white supremacists who have endorsed Trump. I think the reason for that, by the way, is that this sort of white nationalism, these guys purport to be white nationalists. This white nationalism was actually invented in the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party has actually moved from embracing white nationalism to embracing every other type of minority nationalism. So the Democrats now, they like black nationalism, black pride, black solidarity. They're telling every ethnic group, blacks, white, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, be proud of what makes you distinctive. But all these ethnic nationalisms are mobilized against white nationalism. So today, if you're a white nationalist, you don't find a hospitable home in the Democratic Party. In fact, you don't find much of a home in the Republican Party either, because Trump is not a white nationalist, but Trump is an American nationalist. So I think that's why some of these white nationalists are for Trump. They normally would be Democrats if the Democrats hadn't created a type of multiculturalism in which these guys are not welcome at the multicultural picnic.
Well, even if they're not really welcome in either side, which they shouldn't be, obviously, but they did gravitate towards Trump in the last election. Does that put more responsibility on him, as the media certainly did over the last few days, for him to get more specific and stronger in his statement?
No, the media is up to something very, very vile and very cunning. And that is, they're trying to excuse the much more dangerous fascism on their own side. Think about it. The driving of speakers off campus, not just the Antifa violent guys, but the deans and the studio bosses in Hollywood, where if you have a different point of view, they'll run you out of town. They'll make sure you never work again. This is the fascism, not just of the street, but of the institutions. So the Democratic Party today has much more of a fascist ideology and fascist tactics than anything you see in the Republican Party. Look, I've been speaking at GOP, Lincoln dinners, Reagan dinners, Republican events for 25 years. I've never seen at any of these events a Klansman, a neo-Nazi, a skinhead, any of that. So there's a vicious effort underway to smear the Republicans, who are the party of fighting racism, blocking the Klan, emancipating the slaves. There's an effort to transfer responsibility from the actual guilty party, the Democrats, onto the non-guilty party, the Republicans.
What do you make of the immediate politicization here? And I guess you just talked about it a little bit. That's become pretty expected now in the wake of racial incidents, whether it's Ferguson or what have you. So what's the right way to respond to this so we don't end up going down this knee-jerk partisanship every time something like this happens?
Well, part of it is, you know, what's underway here is an effort to create a national shaming of the right. So, for example, look at the stuff about Trump is a fascist. Now, wait a minute. Trump has never said one kind thing about fascism. If we just roll back the clock, when you had real fascism, very dangerous fascism, I'm talking about Mussolini's Italy and Nazi Germany, we have FDR praising Mussolini, sending members of his brain trust to fascist Italy to study Italian fascism, which he thought was more progressive than the New Deal, when he wanted to bring fascist ideas over here. Young JFK went to Nazi Germany, comes back with effusive with praise of Hitler. So here's my point. The Democrats are actually praising the fascist dictators, and the Democrats are now calling Trump, who has none of this history, a fascist.
We're talking with Dinesh D'Souza. The book is The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. And Dinesh, a couple quick questions in our remaining time with you. One of the things we're seeing jumping off from what happened in Charlottesville, of course, is renewed calls for the removal of Confederate monuments and statues. You've got mayors in Baltimore and Lexington, Kentucky, other places calling for that to happen. The state capitol in Tennessee apparently has a bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest. We saw a group of people tear down an anonymous Confederate statue, just a kind of a generic soldier in Durham, North Carolina, yesterday. And so now the debate is raging, even on the right, about whether it's time to remove Confederate monuments and move them to a museum. You've even got folks over at National Review saying it's time to limit them to those specific areas. Others say if you let them go that far, the next thing you know, they're going to be washing Thomas Jefferson and George Washington off the pages of the history book because they owned slaves at one time as well. So what do you see happening here, and what's your position on it?
My position on it is the following. The real slavery debate was not between the North and the South. It was between the pro-slavery Democratic Party and the anti-slavery Republican Party. Most Southerners did not own slaves. Most Confederate soldiers did not own slaves. The Northern Democrats, led by Stephen Douglas, were actively and cunningly protecting slavery and did so for 40 years. So here's the point. This is not a North-South issue. We should be pulling down statues in the North. There were all kinds of Northern Democrats who were voting to keep slavery going and, in fact, wanted to expand it. The blaming of the South is a very cunning, progressive tactic to shift blame from the actual political party. Notice the Democrats are getting no heat for their historical record. They have never admitted it. They've never apologized for it. They've never paid one penny in restitution for it. Southern guilt is the price that they're extracting for their sins.
Their argument, of course, is that they switched. And I think we talked about this last week, that they switched. And Lyndon Johnson, of course, championed the Civil Rights Act. They're the ones that passed and had the majority in Congress for the Voting Rights Act and so forth. And so their argument is that basically they've certainly done a 180. And they would argue, of course, that the Republicans are the ones now with voter ID laws and elsewhere that are actually looking to restrict rights. How do you rebut that?
Well, let's remember, number one, more Republicans proportionately voted for the Civil Rights Act of 64, the Voting Rights Act of 65, and the Fair Housing Bill of 68. Look, don't take my word for it. You can Google this and look it up in 5 minutes and see if I'm right. So the point is, the opposition to the civil rights movement of the 60s came exclusively from the Democratic Party, the so-called Dixiecrats. Now, for those who say the Dixiecrats switched and became Republicans, again, look it up and count on your fingers how many Dixiecrats became Republicans. I will give you a hint of the answer. It's exactly one, Strom Thurmond. All the other Dixiecrats remained in the Democratic Party. They died as Democrats. So the whole notion that the Dixiecrats became Republicans, that's another part of the big lie.
Last question real quickly. In addition to the battle over monuments, how do you expect the narrative to move on going forward from here in the wake of Charlottesville?
the left wants to have a one-way hate campaign that is against the right in the false idea that we are the fascists. It's simply not true. I'd like to see everybody held accountable to the law. So, yes, the white supremacist who plowed into that lady and killed her, let's hold him responsible. You know, the 200 guys who were arrested for rioting, felony rioting during Trump's inauguration, by the way, 11 of them were journalists. That's a crime that carries between 5 and 10 years in prison. So instead of putting these leftists in jail overnight and letting them be martyrs in the morning, let's enforce the laws there too. Once we consistently uphold the law, I think we'll begin to see a normalization of civility in American politics.
We'll be watching. Certainly an intense time in American politics. Dinesh, as always, thanks very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Dinesh D'Souza, best-selling author and documentary filmmaker. Again, his brand new book, The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.